Okay, so we are going to discuss. So you are afraid of the devil and worried about the end time. I don't even know if that's the real title, but that's the one I've been using regularly. I don't know. I know it's sort of along those lines. Okay, so we've been discussing, the last thing we discussed was we went through four different wars, and we saw some amazing things that weren't scary at all. We saw that, at least in the book of Revelation, that the Battle of Armageddon was just simply that they showed up with their guys, and Jesus showed up with his guys, and then Jesus, with the sword of his mouth, defeated all of them, and Jesus' guys went home with white robes still. And so anyway, we pretty much in all of those scenarios saw that really these great big scary wars that were, you know, happening and all that didn't really turn out to be much. What I want to do tonight, if it is night tonight or this morning for you in Ireland, I don't know what time it is over there, or Australia. But anyway, as I want to talk about wars that haven't been mentioned, or maybe throw in one that we did mention, but put in a few extra things with that one. So, turn to Revelation chapter 11. And I want to talk about the war with the two witnesses. Now, you know, just a little side note here. If you really want more detail on this stuff, I did a whole series on the book of Revelation. In fact, some of you took it recently, I think. Anyway, it's good, though. I mean, because it really shows the spirit of Christ in this. And so anyway, this is the war with the two witnesses. We're going to start with verse 3. Revelation 11. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. Okay, so the Lord's talking about them as being his. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters, to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all the plagues as often as they will. All right. So we see in this case, whereas in the situation of the other wars, if you will, that these two definitely have power, okay? And but what we're going to see is the beast who doesn't like this, okay? So verse 7, and when they shall have finished their testimony, and I hope some of you actually remember what it means when it uses the word testimony. It is that they gave themselves after the pattern of the Lamb, or after the pattern of Christ crucified, in that they didn't justify, talk, you know, call in help, all that kind of stuff. Okay. The beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them. All right. Well, it's a little funny, you know, because the devil's been, and the beast, they've been having wars throughout the book of Revelation, and they hadn't been doing so well, but they seem to be able to gather a lot of people. But I think it's interesting here that the beast, with all of the powers, because it's going to say he's got power over all these people and all this stuff eventually, is going to go make war with two people. It's like, this is a little not fair here, you know. But anyway, it'll turn out just fine. He'll make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. So this is the first time in the wars that we've really seen anybody hurt out of four wars. This is the first time, okay? But if you go into my Revelation class and you just look at the beautiful thing about this part of it, you'll see the Spirit of Christ and you'll see just an incredible reality going on here. Okay? And their dead bodies shall lie in the street in the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell on the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry. I mean, I can just see the two dead bodies in the street, no graves, and they're all dancing around going, yeah, yeah. You see it all the time at sports events. Anyway. verse 10. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another. Esther? I don't know. Because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. All right. So, we kind of saw this, and I don't know, it's probably in my notes again somewhere, but we kind of saw this with Jesus, who, you know, he crosses the Sea of Galilee and comes to the Gadarenes, and there's the guy, the legion that has all the demons, who runs up to Jesus and says, "Have you come to torment me before my time?" The devil's looking at Jesus as the tormentor. We're looking, those of us who have been fed, you know, certain stuff, we're afraid of the tormentors and we're the little, you know, in that sense. But the enemy has his own set of fears. And we never think about that. Okay. Tormented them that dwell on the earth. Verse 11. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them and they stood up upon their feet. Okay. Is that going to cause any kind of reaction? Yeah, it is. Okay. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up here, talking not to the scared people, but to the two witnesses. And they heard a great witness from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Okay, so we look at this one, and we go, oh my God, you know, this is the beast is going to make war, and it's going to be horrible, and it kills them, and it's just, and they're rejoicing. And this is really bad, folks. They were dead for 3.5 days, and then they were up. Okay, can you please tell me you can handle that? 3.5 days, just for Jesus, you know. The reward that they got, the Spirit of life from God. All right, you don't think that's worth it? I'm too afraid. Just rapture me. Make sure I don't have to face anything. I don't want the spirit of life from God. Let me tell you, 3.5 days and a bunch of people partying over you. I mean, it ends with, and their enemies beheld them when they, you know what I mean? It's like, well, that didn't work. You know, I'm sure somebody looked over at the beast and said, this is your war? You know, this is all you got? 3.5 days, you know? It's kind of like if the vaccine was only good for 3.5 days. You know, I ain't getting that. La, la, la. Okay, and So now we're going to go to number two example. This is war with her seed. And this one we did talk about, but I want to point out something that I didn't point out when we got to this war. All right, and this is in Revelation 12. The last one was in Revelation 11. This was in Revelation 12, 15, starting with verse 15. War with her seed. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Now, y'all remember this part, right? I mean, when this happens, if you're in the middle of it, you'll go, don't worry, we're going to be surfing. Or carried away on wings. Right? Is that what the scripture said? All right. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth, or he was mad or angry or ticked off with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. It's just interesting to me, though, that this says that the dragon was really angry and he went to make war with the remnant of her seed. But there's actually, from that point on, there's no mention of him doing that. There's no mention of anybody getting hurt after this or anything. And I tend to notice stuff like that. It's like, you know, everybody else goes, no, he's coming. And I'm going, wait a minute. He got distracted. He walked by a mirror, you know, the beast, and went, oh, look at this, you know. And he forgot to go make war with the remnant of the seed. All right. Well, you know how those things come to my mind. Yeah, there you go. That's exactly where I was coming from with that. All right, so let's jump to number three, war with the saints. We didn't talk about this one, but we did in the Revelation class, and it was good. It was not anything to worry about or freak out if you're with the Lord, and we'll see that. Okay, Revelation 13, 7, starting verse 7 and 8. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Okay, so we read that. We read that and we go, oh man, why are you giving, talking to God, why are you giving him power over us to overcome us and stuff like that? Why are you doing that? I thought you were on our side, you know? And then, not only that, but you give him power over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. You know, I don't want to worship him. My suggestion? Don't. It's just a thought. But don't, based on something substantial, the rest of the verse. Okay, so the rest of the verse is, verse 8 is, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. Okay, so it comes down to this. Everybody's being deceived. Everybody's going off the deep end over all this stuff. You got all that going on. You got the enemy making war and being able to overcome, you know, the saints and stuff like that. But it says none of that is touching those whose names are written in the book of life of the Lamb. The book of life of the Lamb. Does your King James read that way? The book of life of the Lamb slain. The book of the life of the Lamb slain. Isn't that what we've made the Bible? The book of the slaughtered Lamb? Isn't that our stuff? Aren't you glad that I make us focus on something that's going to count when it's important? Because it's not just important then. It's important to God always. From the foundation of the world, this was on his mind and what he was focused on. Not a little Christian group, you know, whatever. I felt like an Indian there for a minute. Hi, but sorry, I get carried away. But we have our little rituals and our trappings, and there is something that was not made and not part of this that is still here. And it was and is to come. And when it's all over, you're looking at a slaughtered lamb on the throne. Now, if here's what I always think when people go, well, you know, all you talk about is, you know, death and slaughtered lamb, man. I always think, you know, well, number one, move away from it if it's bothering you that much. But if it's bothering you to think about Jesus eternally as a slaughtered lamb on the throne and you having to look and worship that throughout all eternity, you need to change your focus if it bothers you. Because that's going to be a long time. A long time, okay? So, these are just thoughts that come to my mind. Which some of you are going, and scary. All right. So now, what we're going to do is we're going to take another trip through the book of Revelation, except we really haven't made a trip through the book of Revelation. We hit the wars and we hit several different subjects within it. But we're going to make a trip through there, and let me read my little subtitle here. Now let us get into a study of the book of Revelation in terms of finding out that the devil is not so scary or tough. Scriptures. Prove it, Brother Randy. Pastor Randy. Okay, let's do it then. Book of Revelation, looking at this stuff. Let's start with Revelation 2:10. And we won't get through all of this. In fact, the next one after that looks rather lengthy, but there are points that I felt to make at this stage, so this is what we're doing, okay? Revelation 2:10. All right, now I want you to listen to these scriptures in terms of being scared of the end times and the devil. I want you to listen to them. Probably would have been a good idea to do all of them, to look at them that way, and then let me go, look, do you see what it's saying here? And then let's just see, even though there are issues here, let's just see what the reality is behind and within it, okay? So this is Revelation 2:10. Did I say that? Okay. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, I like... Here's what I like about this 2:10. Is that he starts with telling you not to fear anything, and then he tells you all the stuff. It's like if you told me all the stuff, the bad things that are going to happen, and then told me not to fear it, I might be able to get some gumption. But when you say, don't fear all these things, and then you start describing all these terrible things, it's like, oh, how am I not supposed to with all this? All right. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So I wrote, so you're worried about prison. You're worried about prison. Why? Why are you worried about prison? I mean, it's only 10 days. See, we don't notice that. We say, well, I don't want to go to prison. You know, this would be bad, you know. It's only 10 days and then you're going to be with Jesus forever. You okay? Come on. I mean, this should be taught to baby Christians to get ready for anything like this, because you have the Lord and he is your life. And, you know, so it's only 10 days. The devil uses prison as a fear tactic. But God uses the same thing as a test of what's in you. So it's supposed to be the Lamb by this time. That's why it's the Revelation is the book of the Lamb. That's what it is. That's the emphasis, okay? It begins with that, okay? So even if it goes all the way to death, you gain being with God. You know, and I know, I do understand. A lot of people are just afraid of death in general. I don't know what to say because, you know, Jesus dealt with that on the cross. Did y'all know that? He did. Fear of death. Jesus dealt with that. And, you know, not that it means anything, but I'm not afraid of dying. I'm not afraid of dying either, just falling down dead here or getting a terrible disease and having to live with it for, you know, 5 years or you know, be driving in a car and then look up and an 18-wheeler's coming on my side of the road, but he's, you know, it's like, okay. I mean, what else are you going to do? I mean, I figured this. I'm coming home. But there is an answer to the fear of death. And Jesus answered that with the cross. So I'm not going to, it's not my place to dig into all that right now. Revelation 13. Verse 15 through 18. Now remember, up to this point, tonight, up to tonight, we have shown time and time again that the things that we were afraid of, we didn't really have anything to be afraid of. All the wars, we never even fought in it or were involved in it. Even the two witnesses, well, that there's a good chance you're not one of those. So it's not, you don't have to worry about that one. They're going to be okay because they're going to have the testimony of Jesus. Ta-da. But tonight is the first time that we've been introducing that we could die or that bad things might happen. All right. But we still need to see that in the midst of those, and not all of those apply to us either. I mean, we're worrying about something that probably doesn't, that's not going to be us, like the two witnesses, some of these things. So, you know, I'm trying to get you out of fear and stuff, but you need to see that there are some of these things that are going to happen, and it's not as bad, you know, like the prison thing. You know, we just go, I can't live in prison. Don't worry. Can you hold on for 10 days? You know, stuff like that. All right, this is Revelation 13, verse 15 through 18. And he had power to give life. This is talking about the false prophet. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark on their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, except that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name or his phone number. Oh, wait a minute. That's not in there. Verse 18. Here is wisdom. Okay. Well, let's hear it. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. All right. There are many different explanations of all this, and I'm not going to even go into any, because I don't have wisdom. And let him that understand count it. But one of the things that I think is so blatant there that we miss is that it's a number of a man. It's just a number of a man. You know, it's not some wizard with, you know, it's just the number of a man. Okay, and so we'll even deal with that, right? We'll start with this one, and we'll go down just a little bit. I'm not sure. Okay, Revelation 13, those scriptures. Here is one of the greater powers the devil, through the false prophet, seems to have. Okay? He could give life to the image of the beast so it could do three things. First, the image could speak. It's like, I had three daughters and I taught them to speak. It was not a big deal. Okay? Second, it could cause that as many as would not worship the beast, image of the beast, should be killed. And third, it caused all to receive the mark of the beast, the right hand or forehead, and that no man by himself, save he had the mark or the number of the beast or the number of his name. So this all seems extremely powerful, what the false prophet can do, except that the verses just before this may be important. All right? Now, before you read it, we do stuff like this. We'll pick out this portion right here and we'll read it, and then we'll go into a hissy, all freaked out, you know? Not reading anything around it to find out that maybe all of this hype is not as scary or as powerful as we think it is. And I don't, you know, I mean, we've already gone 30 minutes, so maybe I should leave you hanging, you know. Well, what is it? Well, here's the fun thing, you can read it, but don't read it in advance. Don't read it! Isaac, don't read it. And we'll talk about it. But it's good stuff, especially if you have eyes to see. Here is wisdom. If you have eyes to see, then you'll see these things and you'll go, oh, oh. Here, practice that. I want to see all of you go, oh. There you go. All right. We're on our way. Father, we ask you to prepare us for the next time we're together and let life flow, but also, Lord, let reality as you see it instead of as the scary world and the scariness of Christianity presenting it in all sorts of weird movies and stuff like that. Help us to see the real issues that seem, that deceive these people because they seem so powerful, only to be exposed by you, and if only they had seen. So, Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.